Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
Free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio. Bob Getty, Dima Mixon, and Johnny Quest here in the studio getting ready for another hour of the Eagle Hour.
Where's he at?
Johnny's right over there by you.
I see four.
You remember Johnny Quest.
I see four people on his shirt.
Yeah, there's Race Bannon, Johnny Quest, Haji, and Dr. Quest.
Haji. Now, that's a kind of a...
No, that was his name.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you...
The little kid with the turban on.
Are you
on,
sure
right?
That's proper?
Well, back then it was.
Oh, okay.
1966, yeah, 67.
Yeah. Well, a lot of things are not proper now that were... Like comedy, for example.
The fact is, yeah. His name was Haji.
Haji. Okay.
That's a fact.
All right. Check. Opening segment sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit, now that we got past that useless piece of information. A great place to take your family for a meal this weekend and a great place to cater your next event. 25 hours and what, 33 minutes till kickoff, Dima Mixon. What are we expecting? The first game without Coach Will Hall in almost 4 years.
I really don't know. I mean, it's really hard to say. You know, what exactly is going to be going on in those players' minds. You know, I was at practice this week. It seemed pretty low-spirited, as much as the players and probably the coaches would tell you otherwise. It definitely seemed low-spirited. We'll see. I don't expect them to win this weekend, obviously. I think it'll be a much more interesting tale against some of the teams that maybe are more on their level than the James, as y'all say, Damn Madison.
Yeah. Yeah. Kelly had a good friend say to me this morning, if he were coaching the team, I took credit for that with you, but actually someone else said it. He would tell them, nobody thinks you're any good. Nobody thinks you can win. I want you to just spend the rest of this year concentrating on having fun. Let's just go have fun, and let's let the chips fall where they may. What would you think about that message?
What do you have to lose?
Right.
I mean, because never, no matter what sport at any level, it's no fun to lose.
Right.
Right? So, you know, you've already experienced that. So why not? The pressure's off. The coach is gone. Whether or not he deserved 100% of the blame, whatever, that's arguable. But you're right. Just go out there and have fun. And the worst thing that could happen is you win a game. Now, like Dima, I think you could be playing somebody else other than James Madison to expect a win.
Right.
And really, when you look at the rest of the schedule, Troy is probably the only realistic shot you have of winning a game. But at least go out there and have fun. At the very least. And all these guys love playing football, or they certainly wouldn't be sacrificing what their time and efforts and everything else to play the game. So truly enjoy.
Yep. All right, Damon, we're going to do our picks.
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Let's go through it. All right, we have a change in the standings since last week. And I will.
Excuse me.
Yeah. I will rattle off the standings here. So in first place, we have Kelly Sanner with 67 points. In second place, we have.
Kelly had lunch awards.
Okay. Second place, we have Bob Getty at 66 points. And then in third place is Dima Mixon with 62 points.
67 to 62? You're that far behind?
It's 5 points, Kelly.
Yeah.
It's not that far behind. All right, but let's get into picks. We keep running out of time, so we're going to try to get these quick.
Okay.
So let's go number one. As I sent y'all, excuse me, Georgia State at Appalachian State. Appalachian State's a 7-point favorite. The over-under is 60.5.
I'm taking App State 30-21. Bet the over of 60.5.
App State wins the game 38-28.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to take App State as well. I'm going to take them to cover the points, 31-13 over Georgia State. All right, ULM at South Alabama. The Jaguars are 7-point favorites to the high-flying Warhawks. They're at home. They're the over-under is 45. Are they going to cover the 7 points?
I like the Warhawks. I think I'm on a train. I'm going Warhawks 24, South Alabama 17.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored. I'm with you, Bob. The Warhawks, hey, they've made liars out of everybody up to this point. South Alabama's not a great football team. I'll take the Warhawks 21-20.
Can you believe we're saying this?
Well, if you don't want to bet them on the money line, definitely take the points.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. I was like, even if you pick South Alabama, 7 is crazy.
Yeah.
Just with that defense. Yeah, every time I pick against ULM, they win. So I might as well pick with them now. So ULM, I got 23-20 over South Alabama, and that would be under the 45, barely. All right, Troy at Arkansas State, 7.5-point favorites for the Red Wolves. The over-under is 50.5. I feel like that's a pretty easy cover.
Yeah, but just to be safe, I'm going to buy the half point and take it down to 7. But Arky State's going to win big, 34-13.
Who is that again? Tell me again.
Troy.
Troy and Arkansas State.
Oh, well, I like Arkansas State, and I'm going to take them 28-17.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to take Arkansas State as well. I'm going to take them 45-20. 45-20. Wow. So very similar score to Southern Miss's game last week.
So Southern Miss and Troy are indeed on a collision course for Thanksgiving weekend.
Pillow fight.
That's right. All right, Notre Dame, the number 12 team in the country, the Fighting Irish, on the road at Navy. Undefeated Navy, by the way, and they're 14-point home underdogs. The over-under's 50.5. What you got?
I really want Navy to beat them, but I don't think they are. I'm gonna take Notre Dame 27-20.
Don't be surprised if Navy pulls that.
I'd be happy.
I think one of the safest bets of the day, though, is taking the 14 points. I've got Notre Dame 24-17.
Yeah, I'm going to take Navy to win. That's going to be the upset of the weekend right there.
Trying to make a run, aren't you?
No, I just think it sets up for an upset. Notre Dame, they lost to, Northern Illinois earlier in the season? Yeah, they could lose to Navy on the road. Big game for them. I got Navy 24-20 over Notre Dame. All right, number 3, Penn State at Wisconsin. The Badgers are 6.5-point home underdogs. The over-under is 47.5. Quick pick.
I know you don't think Penn State's very good. I do. I think they're better than you. Penn State wins by 10, and I would bet the over.
Better than me. All right, go, Mr.
No, better. You don't think Penn State's very good.
I thought you said they're better than you.
No, I think the Penn State.
I like Big Ten football, and I do think Penn State's pretty tough. It's at Penn State.
It's at Wisconsin.
No,
at Wisconsin. Is Wisconsin any good?
They're 4-2.
You're in second place. What are you asking
him for? What's Penn State's record?
they're undefeated.
No, well, that's an easy one. I'm going with Penn State.
All right.
I'm going 28-20.
Wisconsin has won 3 straight by a margin of 117-16 over the last 3 weeks. I got them upsetting the Nittany Lions.
He's trying to make a run in Camp Randall. You see what he's doing.
He has nothing to lose.
23-17 over the Nittany Lions.
He's as far behind as Kamala Harris.
Yeah. But I'm a liberal, by the way. Southern Miss.
You're very liberal.
Southern Miss at JMU. JMU is a 24-point favorite. The over-under is 52.5.
Why are you going to me first?
Maybe should I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
All right, I never go first. All right. Southern Miss, they may not even have their entire offensive line for this game. This game, to me, sets up a lot like that South Alabama game from last year. We have all those injuries, weird game, and just going in with just an emotional week. I hate to say it, but I don't see any chance for Southern Miss to win this game. And I will eat my words if they do win this game, for sure. I'm going to take James Madison 55, Southern Miss 3.
Ooh.
Well, since you told me we don't have our offensive line, this is a big change. I got to change.
You got third string on the right tackle and potentially second string on the left.
Yeah, JMU minus 24. I'm taking the Monarchs. No, the Monarchs are Old Dominion. The Dukes, I'm taking 45-10.
They're like the mayonnaise. Just remember that. I've supported my alma mater 2 weeks in a row, unlike you two.
Which is why you're in second place now.
That's exactly what I was about to say. And as a result of that, I have fallen out of first place. So I'm going James Madison 48, Southern Miss 7.
Now you're going James Madison or James?
Damn Madison.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
I thought he was about to say, and I will be taking the Golden Eagles.
I want to get back in first place.
All right. Well, those are your picks. We'll give you the updated standings for next week.
Boy, did Georgia Southern look terrible last night against Old Dominion. Old Dominion could have done anything they wanted to last night. And Old Dominion's a team to start watching now.
Yeah.
They have looked that East.
Yeah, that East is wide open.
Yeah.
And I would honestly say the West is, too. I mean, really, the biggest game of the year might be against ULM in Louisiana in a couple weeks. I mean,
that could be for the Western Division title.
Because, you know, Texas State.
I can't believe we're saying that.
I can't either. But, I mean, Texas State keeps losing. You know, they're going to – they play Monroe next week on the road. But Monroe, you know, if they could get past South Alabama and Marshall – they go to Arkansas State, but then they host the teams they need to beat, which is Texas State and Louisiana. Oh, both of those games are Monroe.
What it is that other teams are so distracted by their helmets that Monroe has an edge.
They're wild. And something we can talk about in the fourth segment today is Brian Vincent, the coach at ULM, is on a lot of people's lists at Southern Miss. The question is, would he do that? Would he jump from a Louisiana Monroe to a Southern Miss in the same conference? I don't even know if he's in the mix, but it certainly makes for good conversation.
Well, fourth segment. On Eagle Post, the race is between Todd Monken and Joe Gibbs.
What about Larry Fedora?
I heard Donald Trump was in there somewhere.
Yeah. And the guy they're all in love with, the cornerback from Miami, Patrick Surtain.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Only on the Eagle Hour can you sit in the studio and hear a grown man with perplexion in his voice asking Dima, "Have you ever seen Johnny Quest?"
Just the things that are said off air on this show.
It was a great cartoon.
I can tell you're wearing a shirt.
Well, no, you were alive back then, Bob.
Yeah.
I can just imagine.
I'm still a little concerned about the Indian guy. I think it's a little insensitive.
Haji?
Yeah, he's got the turban and all. I don't know.
I can just imagine Kelly at Christmas. You know, he gets his snuggled in his little robe after a shower and gets his eggnog and goes on his phone and watches Johnny Quest instead of Elf or something.
Picture that, Patrick McGee, Kelly Center in nothing but a robe, drinking warm coffee and watching Johnny Quest. Is that burned in your head pretty good there, Patrick?
No, I that's something I can't wrap my mind around. So I'll just leave that to y'all.
Patrick, I always like Blue's entries on Instagram, so don't give me any trouble now.
Campus Bookmart sponsors this weird segment. They're on Hardy Street. They got a lot of good Southern Miss apparel. Great place to do your Christmas shopping. I always want to tell Miss Kathleen we said hello. Patrick, this has been a pretty gloomy football season. If you're a Southern Miss guy and a Saints fan, we just haven't had a lot to brag about. So tell us, are things going to get better regarding the Saints?
Well, I mean, they can't get much worse than how they played the last, you know, like six quarters of football. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it can get better. But in terms of, like, reaching any goals maybe they set out for themselves to start the season, it seems increasingly unrealistic. I mean, in this NFL, you know, things can change quickly. But with the rookie quarterback and offensive line still kind of unsteady, I think there's a chance that Cesar Ruiz, one of the a starting guard, gets back sometime soon. But everything just went south for them in a hurry whenever the injury bug bit. And really, here you are, you know, five straight losses after looking like one of the best teams in the league through the first 2 weeks. Things are not great.
Yep. What happened to Taysom Hill? When is he going to get back, Patrick?
He had broken ribs. He is getting closer to playing. I think he's a little bit questionable right now, but I think there's a chance we see him on Sunday.
And who's going to quarterback the Saints Sunday?
It'll still be Rattler. Dennis Allen committed to him again as a starter, and it's apparent that Derek Carr won't be ready. Hainer was it led them to their only touchdown late last week and looked pretty sharp. I thought they might put him out there, but apparently they've set out a plan with Rattler. And you know, and you've seen little glimpses to where he's looked, you know, had some potential, but it's really difficult for him to operate behind the offensive line. And you know, I'm just among those people who's kind of a skeptic as far as Rattler goes in terms of being a starting quarterback in the NFL. I just don't think he's that type of a quarterback. Everything's not quite right with the Saints. You know, you could rely on defense in the past, but the defense has been especially bad the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, Dennis Allen has committed to Spencer Rattler, which leads some fans thinking that Dennis Allen ought to be just plain committed.
Like the one sitting to your right there.
Yeah.
Here was my wife's observation the other day about Rattler. He's trying to look like Patrick Mahomes, but he's no Patrick Mahomes.
Well, yeah, I mean, he in a way, he is kind of like a poor man Mahomes in terms of a strong arm guy, you know,
real poor
athlete, stuff like that. But there's a lot of big differences between Mahomes and Rattler, and he does physically look like Mahomes.
He does,
You know, he's got a long way to go as a pro quarterback.
Well, let's throw the Rattler fan in the conversation here. Go ahead.
Well, Dana. I know that they're playing the Chargers this weekend, and word on the block is that Jim Harbaugh has already been stealing signs. But I wanted to ask you about the way back for Derek Carr. You know, they said he had a potential, to go this week. But you know, if he doesn't go this week and they drop this game 2-6, I mean, he's obviously going to want to get it back on the field, and they still think they have everything in front of them. But it's really hard to see really any path to the playoffs at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, with Olave out, concussion, right. Rashid Shaheed done for the season, basically. It's going to be really difficult. They were kind of, you know, they didn't have great depth at receiver to start with. Offensive line, not great depth. Tight ends aren't very good. So if you take those main pieces off the field, this Saints offense just isn't going to work. And it is not remotely working right now. And it's kind of, they did sign a free agent, Vantez Scantling. I probably butchered his last name, Marquez Vantez Scantling. But he hasn't really played much at all or been productive for a while now. I don't know how he makes much of a difference. So it's just, yeah, there's not much good to point to.
What's the guidelines to get the number one pick in next year's draft?
I guess just have the worst record in the NFL unless it's traded. You know, you got a situation where he traded with the team. I'm not sure what the trade situation is at the top of the draft. If one of the other worst teams in the NFL has given that away here recently. But right. I know the Saints are definitely going up the draft chart each week with each loss.
Right.
Well, Patrick, one piece of good news out of New Orleans is they were able to extend Alvin Kamara's contract, yes?
Yeah, it was kind of like I know they've been working on it a while, but, you know, Kamara didn't seem too happy last time out. He showed a little bit of frustration on the field. And he signed that contract extension. I guess it's two more seasons.
Right.
Got the dollar figure he was wanting. And Kamara, as long as he's got a healthy offensive line in front of him, he's been productive this season. But whenever the offensive line kind of fell apart, it's just been not much room for him to work with out there. So Kamara's still a good NFL running back. He's worth giving money to. You know, I'm somebody that typically is like, don't invest in aging running backs, but Kamara does not look like an aging running back. He keeps himself in really good shape. I mean, he's got at least another couple of good years, productive years in himself. So, it's worth doing for a running back like Kamara. He's still a special type of running back.
And he's been pretty durable. You know, I mean, he has been injured here or there, but overall he has been pretty durable. Here's a question I want to throw out to you, Patrick. It's no secret that the owners want to add yet another game to the regular season, but here we are not even halfway through the year or nearing the halfway point, and a lot of marquee superstars are already out with injuries. So, I mean, how much longer can you extend a regular season when the stars that the people are paying to see are hurt midway through the existing season?
No, I mean, the NFL season is a slog. You know, I guess, you look at the CFL, they play an 18-game season. I guess they figure the CFL does it, we can do it too. I've never seen any other than, you know, owners seeing dollar signs. I don't see any benefit or much benefit for the players. I mean, this league is still going to bring in a ton of money each year, whether they're playing 16 games or 18 games. I think, you know, but all these owners, Roger Goodell, they feed that monkey. I mean, it's just coming down to, you know, how much money can we generate each year? And yeah, and that's the way it's going. And it can be an ugly product, and Saints fans can vouch for that right now. Because, I mean, they've lost, you know, feels like half their team, and they're just not very competitive at the moment.
Well, there's no such thing as too much money for the National Football League. That is for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, Patrick, about 2.5 minutes left. Obviously, we haven't had you on the show since the dismissal of Will Hall. I know you spent a long time covering Southern Miss sports. Your thoughts about that? Any surprise to you? And where do you see the program going, Patrick?
I wasn't surprised. There was a little bit of overlap between myself and Will Hall when he first got the job. I think I left in August, the year that he got the job. And I personally like Will Hall, but then I would kind of listen to some of what he would say in post-game press conferences, and I would become concerned. It seemed like he just didn't seem terribly confident in himself or his ability to kind of get the program going. That wasn't all the time, but, I mean, he could hit some really low points. So I hope I think Will Hall's a good football coach. He'll have a role to play kind of going forward, but it just didn't work out for himself at Southern Miss, you know. I don't have any great insight as to how this happened or, you know, it felt like they had some decent rosters to work with. It just looked like they weren't getting it out of the guys. You know, when I tuned in, they didn't seem really all that well prepared or well coached. That was my impression, 100 miles away or whatever. That's what I saw. So, but, I mean, you can win at Southern Miss. I think they have to invest a little bit in facilities in terms of, like, you know, a practice facility, indoors practice facility, stuff like that. But we're not talking about, you know, millions upon millions of dollars in facilities. They just got to make little small investments here or there. And I think that can really improve their case when it comes to recruiting guys. I know they've done okay in terms of NIL and, okay, so you can win at Southern Miss, but it certainly has not worked the last 3+ years.
Well, budgetary wise, Bob, it would sure help if we didn't have to keep paying coaches to not coach anymore.
Yeah. Any early thoughts, Patrick? About 30 seconds left. Where they may go for the next head coach?
You know, I mean, I saw Bill Clark's name thrown around. I haven't been keeping a close eye on it, but he's a darn good football coach. I think he would do well there, but I think they probably need to look out their kind of traditional mold of a head coach and don't be afraid to go outside of the South even. So I think they just need to kind of cast a wide net and see who comes in.
Yep. All right, Patrick, do something with those Saints, man. Let's get back on the winning road here.
That's completely beyond my power, so we'll see what.
I was going to say, the man is not Jesus.
All right, Patrick.
Or Johnny Quest.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee, everybody, sports editor of the Times-Picayune. You're not a big Bill Clark fan, I can tell.
No, I've just heard that Bill Clark is not interested.
Well, I think he may go back to UAB. Because I think the guy there now,
Dilfer's in trouble.
Dilfer's going to be fired. And yeah, I think UAB at this point would welcome back Bill Clark.
And Bill Snyder went back to Kansas State after a short retirement and did just as well.
I think that may be where he's headed. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, thanks to Patrick McGee down at the Times-Picayune, new sports editor at the Times-Picayune. Joins us every Friday. We're grateful to him for that. This segment of the show is sponsored by 4th Street Bar & Grill, where you can watch the game tomorrow at 2:30. You can get you some good to eat. Enjoy the memorabilia. I'm sure there'll be a lot of Southern Miss fans there. Right, Kelly?
And the way the season's going, there's plenty to drink.
Don't forget about the Super Talk. They would make you drink. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Might even be able to get some cyanide if you know, or some Jim Jones Kool-Aid. I don't know.
I should have known better than playing that up. You think after all these years I'd learn, right?
Jim Jones Kool-Aid, Dima. Google it.
I don't know what that is.
Okay. All right. Will East is back with us. We missed him last week, but we're glad to have him back on the show. Of course, the program director for Super Talk Mississippi and our go-to guy when it comes to high school football. You know, Will, I was a little shocked yesterday. Joey Hawkins was in here, who coaches Columbia Academy, and he was telling me that they've already played 10 games. They got one regular season game left. That's not the case in public school, is it?
It's not. Most of public school kind of starts about the same time. The academy and prep schools, they start a little bit earlier typically. That is a lot of games, but like the big game of the night in high school football is MRA taking on Jackson Prep. They've both played 9 games. So
yeah,
a lot of games already for these teams.
And then the playoffs will start in November with the state championship games, traditionally that first weekend in December. But those are just a few teams playing in those, obviously.
Also in our studio yesterday was Marcus Boyles. He came over here yesterday to do his pregame show, Will. And, you know, he seems to be ahead of what he told me was his schedule 2 years. I'm beginning to think Marcus Boyles is about as good a high school football coach as there is around.
I mean, it's hard to argue with it. I mean, he's been, you know, for me, one big thing is consistency. High school football, you know, unlike the NFL, you can't go sign anybody, or you're not supposed to, at least. Most people don't. You can't just go out there to the transfer portal and grab who you need to. You got to build these kids up every single season, and you don't have much time with them. And they're high school kids. I mean, I don't know about you in high school, but I barely could read. I mean, it was terrible. I mean, the fact that these coaches can go in there and win like this on a consistent – the whole thing is consistent basis. And he's one of them that can really do well. I mean, you look at what he did at Meridian. Meridian, when I was a kid, was a powerhouse. They were an absolute powerhouse. And then the bottom fell out, and I didn't think they were ever going to come back. And he went over there and won, and he scared some teams while he was over there in that short time. Now he's back at Petal and doing really well, and plays in one of the toughest regions in the state. You got Brandon in there. Pearl is never a pushover, even though they've struggled a little bit this year. Of course, Oak Grove, we know that they're basically a dynasty. And then you got tough teams like Northwest Rankin, and then they play a tough schedule. They have – you know, Picayune earlier. They lost that game, but by 3 points. Picayune's an incredible team. So kudos to Coach Boyles and the job that he's done at Petal in the short time he's been back.
And, Will, since you're on that region, one of the keynote games in that region tonight will take place not very far from us, just about a quarter of a mile up the road, where Oak Grove will entertain Northwest Rankin. Talk to us about the significance of playoff seeding in that game, considering the Grovers got beat by Brandon last week. No surprise. Brandon's a really, really good team. But how is the playoff picture looking now in that 7A region?
Well, because they've redesigned the classification, you have less games that are regional games, which means they're more important.
Right.
Which means you can't afford as many. I mean, we have some games tonight. A lot of teams are in their second regional game or maybe third regional game of the season, and we're going to be crowning some champions by the end of the night tonight. I mean, it's very short, which means every win counts. And I will say this for Oak Grove, the schedule does help them a little bit. Northwest Rankin is probably the toughest team. Well, you got Petal at the end, but Pearl is not as good this year, so they should get that one. It is at Pearl, but they should get that one. But then they have that big rivalry game against Petal, and you know the old saying about rivalry games, throw out the record books,
right,
all that kind of stuff. Could they afford the loss? Yes, but with so few regional games, you can't afford much. So it's, you know, you it's going to come down to four teams. You know that Brandon's going to be in there. You would suspect Oak Grove and Petal, and then you've got Northwest Rankin who might could sneak in there. That's a win tonight would be huge for Oak Grove to secure a playoff spot.
And you talked about the private school games. What about south? Most of our listenership is south of Jackson. Some of the other big games here south of the capital city.
Well, I would say one of the biggest games is Jefferson Davis County at McGee. You've got 5-3 Jefferson Davis County taking on undefeated McGee, and this is one of those games. If Jeff Davis County wins, they take the regional title. But if McGee wins, then McGee will have to beat Seminary next week to claim the title. Yes, you heard me correct. The undefeated team needs to win more games to claim the regional title, while the team with three losses needs to win tonight. That's Mississippi High School football for you.
But those are
one of the other big ones tonight. You got Wesson at South Pike. So undefeated Wesson, the Cobras, taking on South Pike, who's 7-1. They both have really, really good offenses. Both of them average over 35 points a game this season. So that's one that I'm keeping my eye on. And then I'll jump down to 2A before I talk about some of the other games. A big shout-out to Heidelberg.
The Oilers.
Yeah. They lost to Charleston in the 2A state championship game last year. That, you know, that really piqued my interest in Heidelberg. This season, Heidelberg is 7-1, and they are on a roll. Get this. The Oilers have not allowed a single point since mid-September. They now have five straight shutouts.
Wow.
Tonight they'll take on a, I believe, 2-5 Clarkdale team. So big shout-out to Heidelberg, you know, a team that had some turmoil a couple years ago, but now they seem to have righted the ship, and just an amazing job by the Oilers there. The big game of the night, though, is actually in the Jackson metro area, and it's pretty amazing because the biggest game of the night is not some big 7A powerhouse versus some other big 7A powerhouse. It's not, you know, some hard-nosed 6A team versus an up-and-coming team. It's two prep teams in the Jackson metro, MRA at Jackson Prep. MRA blew out Oak Grove, the reigning 7A state champ. Jackson Prep blew out the reigning 6A state champ, Wes Jones, a few weeks ago. It's remarkable how good these teams are this season, and they're playing each other tonight. Both average about 45 points per game, a lot of offense. Last week, Jackson Prep beat Hartfield. Hartfield has two right now, but possibly three SEC commits on defense alone, and somehow got out of there with a six-point win. Pretty incredible stuff by Jackson Prep. I never thought I would be saying that a prep game would be the game of the night across the entire state, but that's the case tonight. MRA taking on Jackson Prep at Jackson Prep. One of the other big games tonight is Tupelo hosting Clinton. Clinton's probably your number one team in the state right now. They're 8-0. Incredibly good offense with the running back, Jaden Hill, his name escapes me, 19 touchdowns so far this season. They're going to be playing a Clinton team that has been kind of hit or miss, but much improved from last year. Last year they had one win. They got blown out in a lot of games. This year they're 4-3. They had that win, that crazy win over Brandon early on in the season. But last week beat Starkville. Had 270-something rushing yards on Starkville, which that doesn't happen very often. So Clinton is a dangerous team, and they're going to be playing at Tupelo on that blue turf of theirs tonight. So
keep watch out for the Hattiesburg Tigers, Will.
Yeah.
How about
them? Yeah, Hattiesburg undefeated and one of the best defenses in the state. I think they have the fifth fewest points allowed in the entire state right now. That's pretty incredible. They've only allowed, like, off the top of my head, it's like 78 points this entire season. Heck, we've had some teams give that up in a game and a half. I mean, in a whole season, I think it's 78. I may be wrong about that exact number, but pretty incredible job by Hattiesburg. And they are, I keep saying this, they are the biggest surprise of the season, and it's no longer a fluke, or it maybe never was a fluke. They are proving that they are for real. Tonight they have, I believe, Pearl River Central off the top of my head.
Well, you were talking about teams giving up 78 points in 2 weeks. That wasn't a shot at Southern Miss, was it?
Oh, God.
No.
Because we've been taking a few.
Yeah, we have been. Yeah, there's not enough room on the bridge. Between the Saints fans and the Eagles fans, there's not enough room on the bridge anymore.
Yeah, it's been pretty rough down here,
ready
Will.
To jump.
All right, buddy, we appreciate you, man. Look forward to having you back on the show every Friday.
Thank you so much.
All right, Will East, everybody.
Scoreboard show tonight.
10 o'clock, most popular, historic, really, very historic program.
Hey, if you're a high school football fan, that's got to be part of your Friday
night.
It's
fun, man. I spent many a night driving back home.
Me too.
St. Joe Greenville games, listening to the high school scoreboard. That's exactly right.
And their award-winning journalists that they have call in.
It's great. It was great. Yeah. It was entertaining as it could be. There's no question.
Joe from the corner pub was at the game. Let's get his opinion.
God bless them, though, man. They love high school football.
I agree.
All right. News and notes from the one and only Dima Mixon, who just, what was that score you predicted in the game tomorrow, Dima? Do you want to repeat that?
The fans can rewind the podcast to hear.
Okay, here we go.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Golden Eagles.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour, and we're grateful to them for all they do. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. You can visit the all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West. This segment sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street. Great place for Christmas shopping. Great place, gift certificate at DBAT. Be a great Christmas gift for a baseball or softball player in your family. And also want to say hello to Mo Bay Beignet Companies. Get a little cool outside. What a great day for some hot coffee tonight. A couple of beignets. That'd be a good Friday night treat.
But you know what helps coffee taste good, Bob? Is the purity of the water that goes into it. You know, there's nothing that quenches a thirst quite like pure spring water.
Would you like to know where you can find some of that?
Oh, I was just going to ask you that. Would you?
Inda Bay Spring Water Company.
Well, tell me more.
Natural spring water from Stone County Premium Water.
Well, of course.
Kelly, unmatched purity. You'll be talking to the owner, I think, Tuesday.
Okay.
I think I forwarded that information to you. You can get it. It's brand new. Inda Bay Springs Water. You can get it at all corner market food stores throughout Mississippi and certain Walmarts. Remember, not all water is created equal. You deserve, Kelly. You deserve in the Bay.
Well, I look forward to learning more about that.
Did you hear my radio voice?
Right? Yes, I did. You turned into that.
Dima, news and notes.
We got two news and notes, and then I want to talk about what Kelly was talking about earlier in the show about Brian Vinson apparently potentially coming to Southern Miss. But all right, so soccer won against Louisiana last night over the Raging Cajuns. So good for the soccer team. They won 4-0. That was a critical conference victory for them. That would put them in contention to make the Sun Belt tournament with two games remaining. So they have to win out. But losing last night would have eliminated them.
Okay.
But they have to win out, but they're still in contention to make the conference tournament. They're 3-6-4, and that was a big win over the Cajuns. Men's tennis heads to the Sanford ITA Fall Tournament this weekend. Representing Southern Miss will be Sahib Sodhi, Nicholas Jensen, and Ollie Nortel. And they will all be headed out there. Play begins today, this morning, actually. And then tomorrow as well. There's two rounds of singles today. There's two rounds of doubles tomorrow, and then there's one round of singles and doubles both on Saturday, and then the one round of doubles on Sunday will be the championship, if you will, for men's tennis. And those are the news and notes. And we've already mentioned about how Southern Miss football is on the road to James Madison next tomorrow afternoon.
So the tennis team's at the
Samford,
as opposed to the Sanford Invitational, where Fred and Lamont would be hosting the tennis players.
You don't know who that is, do you?
No. I don't.
Sanford and Sons? You never watched it? Sanford and Sons? I feel so sorry for the younger
guys. I do too, man. They don't know quality television like Sanford and Son and Johnny Quest.
But Brian Vinson, why would he come to Southern Miss to rebuild the football program if he's already done it at the Warhawks?
Well, the only thing you could say is the salary.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not making the money at ULM.
I think he's at $650 to $700, something like that.
Yeah, which is nothing to sneeze at. But compared, it's generally assumed, that this next salary might be just an inch or two north of $1 million. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd say like 1.1 anywhere.
Yeah, this is how things have changed. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I was telling them I've been looking at the coaches' salaries here. And then I was really surprised to see the offensive line coach was making $300,000 a year. And she said to me, oh, well, that's nothing anymore in college football, Bob. And I'm thinking, have we really reached that point that people say a $300,000 a year job is not a very good job?
Well, I mean, what you
look they at just the, live in a different universe than me, clearly.
Look at the number of head coaches and some spotlight coaches. Chip Kelly, you know, left a head coaching position to be an OC. Kane Womack, you know, left South. Now, he left to go to Alabama.
$2 million.
You know what Kane Womack's making at Alabama?
A couple million, I would think.
$1.5 million.
As the
defensive coordinator, linebackers coach. The offensive line coach at Alabama is making $878,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's just it's insanity. It's just gotten completely out of touch with the rest of the world.
But the other thing that you have to, because people go, well, why would these coordinators, all right, want to perhaps even a small pay increase because of these buyouts? Okay, as assistant coaches at whatever schools,
did they get the automatic extension?
I don't think no. They're year to year salaried employees. Okay, so they're just a one bad season away from losing their job, and they've got nothing. So, you know, and I'm not saying that Kane Womack is going anywhere at Alabama. I still think that DeBoer is the guy, but I'm not an Alabama person. Their circus, their monkey, they can do with what they want to. But I'm just saying, Kane Womack would have a little bit of security if hypothetically he were to come here as to be an assistant coach, you know, somewhere else. But
how
it
makes
again,
you think
it is,
he doesn't have any interest in that, though, or he wouldn't have left South Alabama?
No, for sure, yeah. For sure. But I'm saying there is that added advantage of being why yeah. somebody would want to be a head right. coach, leaving right. a coordinator position, is you have the security of knowing there will right. be a buyout.
Well, there you go. That's exactly. Right. All right. Well, the guys are going to have the show. Kelly and Dima, I'll be out next week, but these guys will take good care of everything and bring you a lot of good entertaining stuff.
Should I wear my Lost in Space shirt on Monday?
You can wear anything you want because I won't be here to have to look at it.
And Bob Getty, his whereabouts next week will be unmonitored.
I'm taking a staycation. I've never had a staycation before.
So you're going to be at the Claiborne next week?
Yes, all week.
There'll be plenty to drink at 4th Street Bar and Grill.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'll see Kelly at the Claiborne in the evenings. He comes in. Quite a few fans out there.
Those octogenarians love me.
His poster is, well, never mind. We'll be back Monday, and the guys will be.
We will be.
Yeah, and they will be. And the guys will be talking about the James Madison game. I'm sure hate him. I'll miss that. But I'll tune in.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.